1. Before a man come to Christ, he has an ill conscience, for either he is at peace with himself, and absolves himself, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the abominations of my heart, Deuteronomy 29:19, or he also says, because I am innocent, therefore God will turn away his wrath, Jeremiah 2:35. He cries peace, peace, when there is no peace, Ezekiel 13:10, and that is but a desperate condition, and a bad conscience, if any can be so called. This is the secure and seared conscience, that either doth not judge itself, because a man hath beaten it flint hard, or is constantly absolving itself upon false grounds. That is the conscience that in all the creation is nearest the desperate conscience, that shall never have a good answer. His sin is but lying at the door like Cain's, and shall enter in, when judgment comes. He is but flattering himself in his own eyes, till his iniquity be found hateful, and till sudden destruction comes, as an armed man. Look upon Deuteronomy 29:20, and see such a man's case. There is no peace for him, the Lord will not pity nor spare him, but pour upon him all the curses of the law, even, when he blesses himself in his own eyes. In short, he is such as is awakened to see where he is, and condemns himself according to the word, and that is a better and a more hopeful conscience than the former, yet it is but an ill conscience. Conscience doth act its part aright, and in so far it is good, but the man is but in a miserable condition. Withal it gives such a wound to the soul, as none can bear it. All the sad affections which take up men's spirits come in, and this is the worm which never dies in hell, and the fire which shall never be quenched. Anger, grief, hatred, despair, always dwell with an ill conscience. This is both the resemblance of hell, and the sparks which come from that devouring fire. But, too, when the troubled conscience, tossed up and down, and looking upon all hands for help, and all refuge failing them, and no person caring for their soul, when it gets once a look of Jesus, and roweth unto his shore, oh what a change! He commands the winds to come, and the waves to cease, and says unto him, Son, be of good comfort, thy sins are forgiven. Faith finds in Jesus ample grounds of answering all challenges, of silencing all temptations, of overcoming all enemies, and commands the soul to go into its place of refuge. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee, and see Psalm 116:7-9. We shall now shut up all with the application in some uses. Use 1. We may learn hence how few have a good conscience. Faith is a rare thing, but a good conscience is much rarer. And here we may notice, 1. That the conscience which is dead and sleeping, is not a good conscience. Every quiet and calm conscience is not a good one. Ye may dream over your days with the foolish virgins, and take rest in a pleasing delusion, and cry peace, peace, and yet the end of it will be worse than the beginning. A conscience that acts not at all, nor judges itself, is, as it were, no conscience. Either ignorance hath blinded it, and keeps it in the dark, or wickedness hath stopped its mouth. You think your conscience good, because it tells you few of your faults. It troubles you not, but that conscience must once speak, and do its office, it may be in a worse time, for you. 2. It is not a good conscience that always speaks good, and absolves the man. God may condemn, when it absolves. When ye walk according to false principles and grounds, and either take a wrong rule, or know not how to apply the rule to yourselves, shall God approve of false judgment. Your conscience is erring and deludes you. But, 1. The good conscience is not only a quiet conscience, but a quieted conscience. It not only hath peace, but peace after trouble. Ye then that have no peace, but while ye had all your days, it is but a mere fancy. The answer of a good conscience quiets the distempered mind. It comes by the sprinkling and washing of Christ's blood. He that hath peace on solid grounds with God hath once taken up his enmity against him. 2. The good conscience hath been once an evil conscience, when it met with the command. The man has once been under the law, before he came to faith, and examined himself, and his conscience condemned him as not righteous, and out of Christ. Ye then that never examined your state, according to the perfect and holy law, and never judged yourselves, ye cannot believe in Jesus, and so can have no good conscience. 3. The good conscience flows nearest from faith answering the challenges of the law. Some have had sore distempers of conscience, and puddling exercises of terror. But how they were eased or quieted they cannot tell, but their spring tide ebbed, and they bubbled no more. It went away at will, and did wear out with time. This is not a good conscience, that knows not distinctly the grounds of faith to oppose to the law's condemnation. Some turn to build cities with Cain, and pass the time pleasantly, or in some business, that they may beguile their challenges. But this is not the conscience that faith makes good.
Now, set apart all these who do not examine themselves at all, nor judge themselves, but live in a golden dream, who have never been arraigned before God's tribunal, or summoned by his deputy to appear before his judgment seat, and join unto these all persons who, judging themselves, take other rules of absolution than the word gives, who after trial absolve themselves, and with all those, who, condemning themselves, yet flee not unto this city of refuge, this blood of sprinkling, to get a solid answer in the word to all their challenges, and oh how few are behind! ! It is but as the gleaning after the vintage. Nay, many believers have not a good conscience, though they have a right to it, because they settle not themselves on the grounds of faith, and go not on from faith to faith. There must be some sense of faith, before faith answer rightly, and give peace to the mind. Use 2. Ye see the way to get a good conscience. Believe much, and maintain your faith. It is as simple and poor a mistake as can befall a soul. Ye think, because ye have not peace after your believing, therefore it was not in feigned and true faith, and therefore ye will not believe, because ye cannot get peace. But believe that ye may have a good conscience. Would ye know your sins are pardoned before ye believe? How precious should faith be unto you, when by faith ye may not only overcome the world, but, as it were, overcome God in judging, that the soul may be justified, when it is judged. Ye will not get challenges answered by your own integrity and uprightness, or by your performing of duties. No, no, these cannot be sufficient grounds of your peace. Lay down the solid and satisfying grounds of faith, of imputed righteousness, and of salvation by Jesus Christ, and this shall be a foundation of lasting peace.
Sense makes not a good conscience, there is much lightness and vanity in it, and the rule it proceeds by is changeable. But faith establishes the soul, and makes it not ashamed. Sermon 13. 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment, and see. Fourthly, faith purging the conscience purifies the heart. Acts 15:9, and hope also purifies the heart. 1 John 3:3, which is nothing else but faith in the perfection and vigor of it. This includes, 1. That the heart was unclean before faith. 2. That faith cleanses it, and makes it pure. But who can say, I have made my heart pure? Proverbs 29, I am clean from my sin. Is there any man's heart on this side of time, which lodges not many strange guests?
In answer to this, we may observe that there is a legal purity and a gospel purity. A legal purity is a sincere and full conformity to God's holy will and command, in thought, affections, inclinations, and actions, and, in this sense, who can say, I have made my hands clean? The old corruption sticks to the heart and cannot be thoroughly scraped out. There are many lurking holes for uncleanness to be hid in. Corruption is ingrained in him, and it will not be the work of one day to change it. The whole head is sick, and the whole body full of sores. All the corners of the heart are full of filthiness and idols, and though the house be now sweeped and garnished, and all things look better in it, yet there are many hidden places of rottenness undiscovered, and it is the soul's continual exercise to purify itself, as he is pure. But evangelical purity and cleanness is that which God reconciled in Christ takes to be so, and that which in Christ is accepted, and is a fount of his clean spirit dwelling in the heart. The heart formerly was a troubled fountain that sent out filthy streams, as a puddle. Corruption was the mud among the affections and thoughts, but now a pure heart is like a clear running water, clean and bright like crystal. Now this purity consists in the washing of regeneration and sanctification by the Spirit of holiness. Jesus Christ came both by water and blood, 1 John 5:6. He came by blood, to sprinkle and purge the conscience, that it might have no more conscience of sins, Hebrews 10:2, 9:14. And he also came by water, that is, the washing and cleansing virtue of the Spirit of grace, to purge and cleanse us from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. There are two things in sin that Jesus came to destroy, the guilt and offense of sin, whereby the sinner is bound over to condemnation, and lies under the judge's curse, and the spot of sin, which also Christ came to destroy. He did both in his own person, and he is to perfect this in us personally, who were judicially reckoned one with him, Romans 6 3-12, 1 John 3:5. Now Jesus Christ hath come with blood to sprinkle the conscience from dead works, and give it a good answer to the challenges of the law, and an ill conscience. And he hath come likewise with water, to wash and cleanse us from the spots, and filth, and power of sin. The first removes the guilt, the latter removes the filth of sin, and both are done by faith, which is our victory over the world, and this is the way, how faith overcomes the world by the water and blood. 1 John 5:4-6. The blood of Jesus Christ is holden by faith with a twofold virtue of cleansing, from the guilt, and from the filth of sin, and thus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:7. According to the promise of the covenant Ezekiel 36:25-26. The application of the blood of sprinkling hath two effects. One is for justification, ye shall be clean, another is, from all your filthiness and idols will I cleanse you, that is sanctification. 1. Now this purity consists in this, that the pure heart regards not iniquity in the inward man, nor delights in sin, Psalm 66:18. He sets not up his idols in God's place, Ezekiel 36:25. The cleansing of the heart is from idols. Although he cannot get himself purified, as Christ is pure, and though iniquity be in his heart, yet he regards it not. He looks not upon it, as a guest approved and accepted. Sin may be an intruding guest, but sin is not welcomed with all his heart. He dare not take that pleasure in sin that another man would do. He hath a word that eats up his pleasure, when he departs from God, or his thoughts go a-whoring from him. The unbelieving man's heart is a house full of idols, but the entry of faith by God's Spirit makes their dagger to fall. But, 2. The pure heart hath much of the filthiness taken away that filled it before,
and so it is denominated from the best part. It is washed and cleansed from a sea of corruption, and the body of sin that did reign within the heart was formerly like an impure fountain, that sent out nothing but rotten, stinking waters. Unto him were all things unclean, for his heart and conscience was defiled, Titus 1:15. Nothing was pure to him, it ran continually in a stream of unclean thoughts and affections. But now he is purified, and to the believer all things are pure. The ordinary strain and current of his thoughts and affections run more clearly, free of the earthly quality they had, more sublimated, more spiritualized, and he is named by that. Though, it may be, temptation may trouble the fountain, and make it run unclean and earthly, yet it will settle again, and come into its own posture, and the dreg fall to the bottom, and the clean water of the Spirit be the predominant. But a standing puddle will run foul as long as it runs, corruption goes through all. It is not a corner of the heart, but the whole heart. 3. A pure heart is like a running fountain, if it be defiled, it is always casting out the filth, and is about returning to a right state. But an impure heart is like a standing puddle that keeps all it gets. If by temptation the pure heart and affections be stirred, and the filth that is in the bottom come up to the brim, it hath no rest nor peace in that condition, but works it out again, and it hath this advantage, that it is purer and clearer after troubling nor it was before. For much of the filth would run out that had been lying quiet before. But an impure heart keeps all, and vents none. If ye trouble it, ye will raise an ill smell, and when it settles, it falls but to the bottom again, and there is, as much to work upon the next time. In a word, the believer, when he sins, and his heart goes wrong, he weeps over his heart, and has no peace till it be cleansed. He washes in the fountain of Christ's blood. When a natural transgression gets up, he sets himself against it and the root of it both, and bears down the original corruption, which is the fountain of all sin, Psalm 51:5, and at every descent he brings away something of that puddle. He is upon the growing hand by the exercise of faith and repentance. Look upon him, after he has seen and been sensible of his sins, and ye would say it is not the man ye saw. He hates sin more than he did formerly. We also notice, 4. That purity is sincerity and uprightness, James 4:8, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Hypocrisy is filthiness and abominable to God. He then is a sincere man, that hath any honesty of heart toward God. When his actions are not right, his heart doth not approve them, Romans 7. When he cannot come up to his duty, his desire comes before performance. A sincere man hath a respect to all God's commandments. 5. The pure man is still purifying himself even, as God is pure. As he who hath called him is holy, so he is holy in all manner of conversation. He never thinks he is clean enough, and so he aspires after greater purity, and is named a saint, rather from his aim and endeavor, than from his attainment. He cries, and clean, am I, and holy, holy, Lord God, art thou. He hath taken up his lodging near the open fountain, and dwells there, never to remove thence, till he have his robes clean and white in the blood of the Lamb. No unclean thing can enter into heaven, and he is trimming himself against that day, and setting apart all superfluity of naughtiness, and filthiness, and still all his righteousnesses, as menstruous rags. He is cleansing his house, every day casting out something, searching out all the corners of it, lest the unclean thing, and the Babylonish garment be hid. His pattern is to walk even, as Christ walked, 1 John 2:6. Now faith and a good conscience have influence on this purifying the heart. 1. because faith lays hold upon the cleansing virtue of Christ's blood. It applies Jesus Christ, who came by water and blood, and his blood purges the conscience from dead works, to serve the living God. The blood that was offered up by the eternal Spirit, of how great virtue must it be when applied to the heart and conscience, Hebrews 9:14. No wonder it makes that like wool which was formerly like scarlet. Now faith in Jesus Christ applies that blood. It is the very hand that sprinkles it. Faith takes up house beside the open fountain, and dwells there. Faith takes Jesus for sanctification as well as justification, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Faith looks upon a judicial union with Christ crucified, and sees his perfect offering once offered to sanctify all, and therefore makes continual applications with David, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow," 2. Faith purifies the heart, because it lays hold on the promises, and makes use of the word, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Faith having such promises, cleanses the man from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. The proper order of faith is the word, and the word is the truth by which we are sanctified and made clean, John 17:17. There are many precious promises of sanctification and holiness, and faith draws the virtue of purifying the heart out of the promises, and applies the promise to his impure heart, and it is purged. 3. Faith purifies the heart also by provocation and upstirring, in as far as it gives the answer of a good conscience. For the man who hath gotten a solid answer to all his objections in Christ's blood, and hath the continual feast of joy and peace in believing, oh how will he abhor himself, and repent in dust and in ashes. Faith takes up God's holiness and purity, and loathes itself with Job, and cries, unclean. The believer will thus reason and conclude, shall I any more delight and live in sin, since I am dead unto it by Jesus Christ? Romans 6:1-2. He falls in with the beauties of holiness, and so cannot abide his own. Faith begets hope, and hope purifies the heart. Shall then the man who expects to see God, and be a citizen of the New Jerusalem, where no unclean thing can enter, shall he walk in his former lusts, like the wicked world, and not make himself ready for the continuing city he goes to, and adorn himself for the company of the blessed God and angels? Let us now conclude, by applying all which hath been said in some uses. Use 1. We may see from what hath been hinted, how little faith is among you. Faith purifies the heart, but if ye examine yourselves, your hearts will be found unclean, and such as the Holy Ghost cannot dwell in. The temple in which God's Holy Spirit resides must touch no unclean thing, 2 Corinthians 6:16-17. Are not many men's corruptions rank and lively? Unclean hands are an infallible demonstration of an unclean heart, James 4:8. These things which proceed out of the heart may teach you what is within the heart. The streams may let you know what is in the fountain, Mark 7:15-22, James 3:11-12. What need ye any more proof of yourselves? Sinners, look to your hands, and your outward man, and learn from them to know your hearts. These things proceed out of the heart and defile the whole man. The profanity of the most part of men's practices, cursing and swearing and see, is a bitter stream that cannot proceed from a good fountain. It is a wonder how the world satisfy themselves with a dream of faith. What influence hath your faith had upon your heart and conversation? Are ye not as earthly and worldly as ever, as unclean as ever? Ye think your hearts good, but if your conversation be not good, your hearts are not good. Will any person think his sins are pardoned when he wallows in them? Do they believe they shall obtain the remission of these sins they are not purging themselves from? No, no, the blood and water must go together, and the Spirit sanctifying with Christ's justifying. Use 2. The children of God may hence gather the ground and reason of their little progress in sanctification. Why are your hearts so unclean, and why is there so much corruption yet living in your thoughts and affections, that it cannot keep within the heart, but, as a full fountain, must run out in streams of external actions? It is even this: ye do not believe much, and though this be told you, yet ye will not believe it. Ye take ways of your own to purge out your corruptions, and it will not do. All your resolutions, prayers, sad experiences, and see, are of no more virtue than the blood of bulls and goats. Ye must then apply the blood of the Son of God, which was offered up by the Eternal Spirit. It is but a poor fancy to suspend believing till ye see a pure heart. How shall ye get a pure heart? Is it not folly to forbear planting till ye see fruits, or to pluck up your tree, because it bears not the first day? Abide in Christ, and ye shall bring forth much fruit. Believe, and believe, and believe again, till faith be answered by a good conscience, till that sweet echo be given unto the Lord's comforting voice, "Thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee." Be much in laying hold upon the precious promises, and then your heart shall fall out of love with this present evil world, and shall relish spiritual things. But who will believe this report? Ye go away convinced that this is the only way to purify yourselves, and yet ye continue puddling in your old way. May God persuade your hearts to do better. Sermon 14, 1 Timothy 1:5. Now the end of the commandment, and see. Fifthly, faith purging the conscience, and purifying the heart, works by love. Love is the fruit of faith. Love is the stream that flows out of a pure heart and a good conscience. By love, we mean principally love to God, or Jesus Christ, and then love to the saints next to our Savior. This is often mentioned in Scripture, "Quote maketh not ashamed," Romans 5:5, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. This love is the consequence of the peace which a justified man obtains by faith, Romans 5:1 and 2 Corinthians 5:14. The constraining love of Christ flows from this ground, that a man judges Christ to have died for him, from faith's taking up of Christ in that noble expression of his love, John 5:40 and 42. "And ye will not come unto me that ye may have life. I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." Faith works by love. Love is faith's hand put out in action for Christ, and as the mind commands the outward man, whether it will or not, so doth faith command love, Ephesians 3:17. The rooting and building up in love is a fruit of Christ's dwelling in the heart by faith. Love is the branch that grows in faith's root. These are often joined together, and comprehend the substance of the law and gospel, 1 Timothy 1:14, 2 Timothy 1:13. Faith fulfills the obedience to the gospel, and love is the fulfilling of the whole law, Romans 13:10, so that faith leads a man back again to the command that he fled to faith from. Faith hath reconciled them and taken up the difference. We shall then show how faith and a good conscience and a pure heart contribute to love.